All right, this is Andrew again. I'm live at the Ignite Conference, another one of our Ignite Wire episodes, episode 156. Sitting here with Microsoft's Yina Arenas. Yina, how are you doing today?
Hey, AC, how's it going?
Doing great. So I wanted to catch up with you. You were, what was it, last year? Was it at Build last year?
Or this Ignite? Year.
Was it this year?
No. Last year we announced it.
Yeah. And then This year you owned the keynote for all of the office stuff, right?
It was at Build.
That
was Build, yes. Yeah, that was quite an experience.
A little stress the night before and that morning of?
That's a lot of pressure, let's say.
Yeah. Well, hey, it was great because I didn't realize that you were doing that. You just saw demo after demo after demo and talked to a few people offline. It's like, man, she's killing. She owns a freaking office right now. It's awesome.
It was 22 minutes of just straight talking and doing demos and code in front of 6,000 people. It was mind-blowing.
There was a few of us online that were watching too, so a bit more than 6,000, but you nailed it. Congratulations.
Yes, the video went over a week on over 240,000 views, and I was like, that's way more than I was expecting. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That went really well.
Thank you.
So, hey, I wanted to catch up with you here at the conference because I know we ran into each other the other day, and you were telling me about some of the stuff that you guys have been doing with the Microsoft Graph and some of the updates, and it kind of blew my mind. So I'd love for you to just share some of these things with our listeners and one of these quick little episodes. So one of the things I know you talked about, too, was a bit of hybrid stuff, too.
Yeah. Okay. Let me take 30 seconds to give a context of what Microsoft Graph is for those who don't know.
Okay.
So Office 365 and all of the services that compose Office 365 have a lot of different endpoints and have historically evolved over time on their own. And as we build more user-integrated experiences, well, developers also want to build user-integrated experiences, things that are coming from data in Azure Active Directory, like groups and users, data from Exchange, like your mail, your calendar, your contacts, data from SharePoint, like your documents, your sites, your libraries, all of this information, and be able to jump back and forth between this data without too much hassle, right?
Right.
It was not easy before, but now it is with Microsoft Graph, because it's all of that data exposed under a single endpoint, which is graph.microsoft.com. And using a single authorization and authentication flow. So basically, it's a gateway to Office 365 data and more Microsoft Cloud services that are coming on board into the Microsoft Graph. And one of the things is that it not only exposes data, it also exposes insights and rich relationships that we calculate based on the user activity on the service. So every time that you and I have an email conversation or that we have a meeting together or co-author documents, all of those signals go into the service and allows us to calculate rich relationships. Like, for example, who are the people that I'm working with or the documents that are trending around me. These are the same set of insights and relationships but that power some of our experiences like Delve.
Okay.
So,
and you get access to it as a developer because you call Microsoft Graph, you're getting the same data
back. It's a REST endpoint, so you just basically make an HTTP request. And, of course, we have SDKs on all of your favorite platforms. We have a .NET SDK and an Android SDK that are now GA. We have preview SDK for Node and JavaScript, and we have iOS, Ruby, and PHP SDKs on the works.
Wow.
So, and also a comprehensive list of code samples and that, all available in GitHub. Then you can use.
Yeah, and the website too to go play with it is it's nice because it's the same endpoint for both the website and the API, and it kind of figures out where you're coming from, and it's easy to go through and to see the stuff to try it out.
Put in your browser graph.microsoft.com. It will take you to the website, and the website has really nice getting started experiences, so you can be with FI-ing your code in the platform of your choice in less than 5 minutes. And it has an entry point for app registration. It has documentation, all of the documentation for our V1 endpoint and our beta endpoint. So basically, Graph right now has two versions, V1, which is our production-ready version, and a preview endpoint, which is slash beta, that where all of the new stuff that we're iterating on is going in. So this one is more for experimentation, for people to play around, to give us feedback. And, as we make more progress on those features that graduate into a version, which is currently V1.
So people like me can still use the beta endpoint. I can still get production data. It's just not, just that because it's beta that, things may change a little bit. Experiences may change. Property names may change.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So the data you get is exactly the same data, but, the APIs are a little bit different. Meaning the mail API between beta and V1 is the same, but in beta, it might have a new set of properties, mm-hmm. or it might have a different capability that is not in V1,
gotcha.
Right? Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, that's cool. So, and then other stuff that you guys have added, though, things that you've added in this round that you're announcing this week,
yes.
and everything.
I'm super excited about the things that we're announcing this week at Ignite, which is there's three cool things.
Okay.
Two that are brand new, and one that we announced a month ago. So brand new is SharePoint on Graph. So it was the number one. I remember Build 2015 when I made the first session, and people were like, where's SharePoint?
Yeah. Now, is this sites or lists?
Sites, lists, document libraries, all there in the graph, in the beta endpoint. It's our first iteration of getting all of the SharePoint things into the graph, so we really are eager for feedback. And you can do full CRUD on lists, and you can read on sites.
Is all this in the? I'm assuming it's in the beta endpoint.
It's in the beta endpoint.
Not in the production endpoint
not
yet.
Not in the V1 endpoint right. yet.
Not
yes, exactly. So it's just brand new this week, out of the press, and we're looking really for people to give us feedback and the API shape and all of the different things that they want to access from SharePoint data.
That's really cool. I know that was one of the first requests that we all had. Was,
yes.
You know, right away, it's like, I'll be able to get to this. So
yeah.
I know some of the other people, the other things that when the graph first got discussed and everything was people were asking about, well, what about, that's all for my Office 365 data, right?
Yep.
Anything done there?
Yes, that's the second one, which is access to hybrid.
Oh.
So basically, now Microsoft Graph is reaching out to data that is on-premises. We are starting with Exchange. Mm-hmm. So if you have Exchange 2016 on-premises, mm-hmm. there's a little bit of configuration that you do as part of the installation of Exchange that basically enables the Microsoft Graph to reach out to the endpoint, to the API endpoint on the Exchange server. Mm-hmm. And then Microsoft Graph can get data from your mailboxes on-prem. And we have a lot of customers who's like, maybe some mailboxes are in the cloud, some mailboxes are on-prem. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard for developers to figure out like where to get that data mm-hmm. and build an application that works for all of them. So here's our step forward in that journey, exposing that data. And you can see us making investments for doing the same thing on Azure Active Directory and SharePoint.
Okay, that was I had two questions that were going to come out of that. First, what about users? What about Azure AD on-prem?
Azure AD on-prem. So we started with Exchange. So you can do mail, calendar, contacts right now.
Okay.
Users and groups is the next set of thing on the dial that we're going to go on and crank.
Awesome. So when you do, when a developer goes to call that, to call data that's maybe hybrid, maybe in 365, when it comes back, does it tell you where it's coming from? Or do they have to specify that they want to go on-prem? Or is it just, how does that work?
No, there will be some error messages in case of some data is not found. Say, for example, I mean, we're constantly evolving things in Office 365. Say a property that you're getting from you're asking from a mailbox is only a property that is available on the cloud. There will be error messages that tell you, you know, this particular property is not on the mailbox server that is serving this request.
Okay, is there a flag that you can tell if the data came from on-prem or 365, or is that what you're looking for?
Well, it's more error-driven.
Okay.
The idea is that you don't really have to worry about where the data is coming from.
Okay. Well, still, that's huge, being able to use off the Microsoft Graph to be able to pull data from on-prem.
Yeah.
Now, that's going to require an Office 365 subscription, I assume?
That requires hybrid. So this is not pure on-prem. This is you have presence in Office 365. At the minimum, AD is in Office 365, either via dir sync or password sync or some of the other sync mechanisms that we have for between AD for on-prem and the cloud.
Okay, so requirements are hybrid. Got to have the Active Directory, some sort of a synchronization between on-prem and Azure AD, Exchange 2016.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Any chance you guys may be looking at for SharePoint, you say, down the future maybe too?
For enabling hybrid?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the direction. We want developers to be able to use Microsoft Graph to reach all of the data in Office 365 and also acknowledge that a whole bunch of our customers still have data on-premises that we want a seamless developer experience as well.
That's really cool. And you said there was a third thing, too, that you wanted to talk about, too, that's new.
Yes, another one that I'm super excited about, which are the Excel REST APIs.
Mm.
So we have full, super rich APIs on Excel files sitting in OneDrive, SharePoint, and Office 365 groups. You can access that the API via the Microsoft Graph after the file doing /workbook, and you can operate with worksheets, table, ranges, charts, and a whole bunch of the set of functions that are available in Excel. Mm. So say, for example, you're building some probabilistic model, and you don't have to rewrite in your code all of the, a regression function or a forecast function. Those are functions that are built in into Excel already, mm-hmm. and then you just can call them passing your data, which can be in the Excel workbook, and just use the Excel calculation engine on the cloud to get your results.
So, oh, God, that's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, that's very awesome. I know you showed me a little demo of it, too, yes. using like a bot. And
I did. Yeah, so this is a project that one of the designers on our team did. It's called Excel Bot. And basically what it's doing is using the Excel Bot framework and Lua, which is the natural language bot from the framework, to understand the intent of the queries and translate them into requests to the API. So basically I can say, hey bot, bring me a chart in Excel, and it's in my workbook, and it's going to bring the chart. I can ask him to update a specific set of data, and it's going to go to the workbook and make the update of the data. And that triggers the whole recalc engine. So if I had a model that is key off that piece of data, then it's going to recalc and give me back the new results. So it's pretty awesome, and we're really, really excited about Excel REST API.
That's very cool. Now, so since you've been in production with the Graph, I mean, have you seen a lot of customers, like, really unique scenarios of doing that? I know we have one friend that actually is doing it with HyperFish and CJ, so we'll ignore that one because we know he's using it quite a bit, and he gets enough play on this show already. But, I mean, other customers doing some really interesting things with Graph? And
We have a ton of customers that are doing really interesting things. A couple to mention, for example, is, since I was just talking about the Excel API, Zapier is doing some really cool integrations to enable automated data inflow into Excel files. So say, for example, you can build a little lightweight workflow that every time that you get a tweet on a handle, it adds a row to an Excel sheet with that particular information. That's one of them. Sage is a company from the UK that is building light software for accounting, for payroll processing, like small, medium businesses processes, mm-hmm. Using also the Excel REST APIs. We have partners like Smartsheets doing integration with Graph, DocuSign, Netscope, CloudLog. We have a really good set of partners that have built on top of the API. And we have a good mixture of ISVs that are creating software for other customers, and also line of business applications customers, especially in EDU, mm-hmm. where we're seeing a really good pickup of applications that are being built on top of the Microsoft Graph for education scenarios.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, when we first heard about what you guys were doing and seeing it announced at Build like 2 years ago now, or a year and a half ago?
Actually, it was Build 2015.
Okay,
so it was a year and a half ago that we did the first announcement of the
And state, it's crazy seeing the adoption for it, too. I mean, you guys are just, you're not missing a beat. You're pumping out a bunch of stuff.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's been quite a ride, quite busy, but it's been amazing. I'm really thrilled about all of the improvements that we've been able to do in the platform. Like, since I started, I was part of the first wave of bringing REST and an auth into SharePoint, and seeing that go into Exchange and AD, and growing that into, like, no, we got to have a consolidated platform for all of the different services. And that's been an evolution that I've been super hyped about participating and being able to contribute.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I tell you, as we wrap this up here, is there anything that you'd like to tell our listeners? I mean, first, how can they follow you? How can they find you? And then, a call to action? What do you want them to go try?
So, graph.microsoft.com, that will take you to the Microsoft Graph documentation portal. We have really good quick starter experiences, so go and try those. We have code samples on all of the different platforms. Go and try those. My Twitter handle is YINA_ARENAS. Mm-hmm. So YINA_ARENAS.
Okay.
And, just let me know. How's it going? We have channels for questions in Stack Overflow. Just tag them with Microsoft Graph. We have a channel for feature requests on User Voice. Mm-hmm. And we also have GitHub for issues that you find in the documentation and things like that. So we're all ears. So come and let us know about the things that you're doing and the your experiences that you're developing. So
awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate you taking the time to sit there and share with our listeners what's going on with Microsoft Graph, and congratulations on the releases this week.
Thank you.
Awesome.